Well, today we have already, and we will, make choices today. You made the choice, the decision to come to church. It's great to see all of you here. Welcome. It's nice to be here. You're going to make a choice later today whether or not to watch the Super Bowl, choice you make. And if you do, you'll choose what snacks to eat or what not to eat. Make a choice on what team to cheer for or not cheer for. But just every day there's choices, decisions that we make. And God's gift to us is choice. We are creations of God. And he shaped and he formed us. And we are here as a result of his purpose. God created us with the ability to choose. And it's that ability to choose and make decisions that kind of sets us apart from all other created things. God created us with the ability to make choices for good and also choices for things that are not so good, even downright evil. He even gave us the ability to even choose against him. I have the privilege of being the dad to two sons. They're older now, adults. One's 27 and 22. It's hard to believe. But I think all along through their lives, I had a desire, as their dad, to want them to be able to learn how to make choices and good choices. And I think every one of us, if we have kids, that's what we want. We want our kids to be able to learn how to discern things and to make choices and decisions. I think it's cool. I think we both do when, you know, even as they are grown now, they still give us a call. They ask for advice. They ask questions. And that's because something magical happened. Because we got older, they got older, and all of a sudden, because of that, we've been healed. We have been healed by the power of God to also now not know anything. You know, we've been healed of that, you know, that the idea of not knowing anything. And all of a sudden, you actually know something. And I'll even call you on the phone and ask you about it. Something miraculous happens, I guess, after a certain age. I've also been aware that as they have grown, that they, you know, will make choices, decisions themselves. And they are able to make choices that may or may not align with maybe what I would choose or decide. They can make choices whether or not even they're going to follow God's will for them or not. Just as I can, they can. See, people are able to control and shape their own path or destiny. We can control or influence even our surroundings. It's beautiful to live in a country where we can make choices. We can make political choices by going out and voting. We make social choices in how we choose to live in society and in our world. We make religious choices, maybe on, you know, what to follow or not to follow. We make relational choices based on who we choose to be with or be around or not be around. We make choices that will affect ourselves and how things turn out for us. But we can also make choices that will affect other people around us as well. People maybe follow us who live around us. And that's kind of the sobering thing, right? Where what I choose can actually have an effect on the people around me. And that kind of plays into the idea of the choices we make as children of God. And that's kind of what we see played out in the Old Testament lesson for today in the book of Deuteronomy. That particular book kind of shows what it looks like to live as God's people. It's a retelling of the giving of the law and God's will for his people. So, as you get to the end, where we are here in this text in Deuteronomy chapter 30, it's kind of after a long period of time. They've been wandering around out in the wilderness for like 40 years. And so Moses, in a sense, you could almost say, is saying, all right, I'm going to give it one last try, folks. We're going to do this again. Here we are. We're going to move as God's will is for us into this new land. And so it says there in verse 19, this day I call the heavens and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life, death, blessings, curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. I mean, that's an incredible set of choices. Because it's not only going to affect you in this scene here for those people, but it's also going to affect their kids and future generations on what you choose to do this day. And I've always been, I don't want to say amused, but it's interesting that he has to encourage them to choose life. The mere fact that he has to say that is kind of scary, isn't it? Please choose life. Choose life over death. And by death, the way I would run with that in this, and it unpacks further and further, but it just means doing a way of life that's going to bring hurt and harm, lead to pain and suffering, and also even to maybe even to the losing of one's soul. And so the call there is live according to the commandments, because he's saying this is, in a sense, is how you were created to live, right? This is what it looks like to love God. This is what it looks like to love other people. This way we were created and designed to live. Let that be your pattern for how you do life. And you go through the commandments. Now, the gospel lesson for today, we did kind of an abbreviated form of that because it's further, but it's this discourse that Jesus is going through the different commandments and, you know, a different kind of way of understanding it. And it would lead us to look at them a certain way. And I could say, all right, I'm going to go through the list. I have not, and I'm telling you right now, I have not murdered anybody, all right? I have not murdered anybody. I have not been unfaithful to my wife. I am not divorced. But even so, I would have done it legally. I have not lied in court on a witness stand. I love my family and friends. So I can stand before you today and say, I am God's gift to the world and God's gift to you. All right? Because of how I have chosen to outwardly live my life. But then I read the other parts of that passage in Matthew chapter 5, and Jesus threw out the spoiler alert. Because when he said, but I say to you, ruined everything. If he had not said, but I say to you, everything would have been fine, and I truly would have still been God's gift to you in the world because of how I've chosen to outwardly live my life. He ruined it. He says, Jim, let's take a look at your heart. And my response, I need a savior. I need a savior because as I look at myself in my heart, it changes everything. Jesus demonstrates that all of the things taught about in this whole section, and there are a lot more topics involved there, what really matters are the matters of the heart. And then at the very end, he says, Be therefore as perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. He says, all right, well, there it goes. The reality for all of us, our hearts, I'm sorry to say, we have failed with all the things mentioned. Jesus wants us to see things differently. And that's why he says, but I tell you, he compared it. We outwardly obey things, and that by doing that, that really helps for having an orderly world. If outwardly I live my life a certain way and you outwardly live your life a certain way, that's good for all of us. But a heart that is humble and obedient and filled with God's love is really truly the thing that's essential for life if we desire to shine his light to the rest of the world. And that's what matters between our relationship between ourselves and God too. So what Jesus is going to do is take it from an outward, in a sense, to an internal orientation, where he says, all right, murder, all right, how about anger? Not adultery, how about let's talk about lust? Because we can pat ourselves on the back all day long for things that we maybe have or haven't done. I have not murdered anybody. Well, nice, all right? But have I ruined the reputation of somebody else at work because of something that I've said? I can pat myself on the back and say, well, I've never outwardly committed adultery or something like that. But maybe by having an ongoing, continuing heart problem with lust, it's hurt something within me and my soul and the way I see other people. Bottom line is Jesus is helping us to realize that what he's requiring is kind of above and beyond our own power to do. And possible only through God's grace, his mercy, his love, and his forgiveness, and the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through us. Because it's the Holy Spirit that's going to work these things in us and through us. It's a byproduct of having him in us. He's the one that's going to help love and life to be released from us. And it happens when we grow in appreciation and understanding for who Christ is. You know, it says, we love, why? Because he first loved us. So Tuesday is Valentine's Day, in case you forgot. It's the day, in a sense, that we recognize and we celebrate God's gift of love. Relationships that we have. And really, I think we need to understand, you know, love is such an amazingly powerful thing. And it's not so much the romantic thing, the romantic love for another person, but rather the power of love to rise above the things that bring hurt to the world and relationships. Because when you bring love into the equation in the right way, it just changes things, and it's greater than. And if we focus on Jesus as being the greatest example of what that is, and we see how perfect that is, and what kind of love he has and what he does, it kind of shows us what it looks like. See, God shows us what love can do, and it releases life. See, love releases life, and it's greater. Love is greater than hatred and anger. It's greater than resentment. It's greater than lust. It's greater than arrogance and pride. It just has a way of offering something more and greater. And our prayer should be that we would release life into the world, that we would bring a blessing. He says, I have set before you blessings and curses, life and death. And again, choose life. We have the opportunity to do that, to release life. I like these illustrations. Here's a picture of, you know, one thing. It's you can, like water, you can release it into the world. You know, there's the dam there, but you open it up and all of a sudden it brings what people need. It can create electricity. It can, you know, provide resources for people. And it's the same thing as what Jesus did, releasing blessings and virtue and honesty and integrity, healing and restoration and redemption. I think of the ways that we can bring things into the world. I mean, literally, it's kind of like what it says, choose life. You know, just us partnering with Living Well and saying, hey, we want to support life and choices that maybe moms right now in a difficult situation are making. We're going to come alongside of them and love them and give them things that they need. That promotes life. It releases life and love. Beautiful example of that. You know, you think of just the horrific thing that happened this past week with the earthquake in Turkey and Syria, and all the life that has been lost. But yet, look at the when the people show up to offer aid and assistance and relief and the support that they need. It's bringing life to help people in a really bad and broken situation right now. And to not turn a blind eye, but to help it. Sharing their testimonies of faith. You know, today, you know, with the Super Bowl going on, and it's been interesting sometimes, too, to hear various players. I know both, I think, the lead quarterbacks for both teams are outspoken followers of Christ. And they let people know about their faith in Christ and what it does. And even, I was talking to someone, too, before the service today. It's true that there's even some Christian ads that are showing up this year in the He Gets Us campaign, presenting Jesus in a way to help people understand that he shows us to be one that understands and relates to us in life and doing of life. It releases life. Or we can choose another way, as this picture shows. We can just allow stuff to flow from us that by nature just does at times, right? It's the ugly stuff. We can just be selfish. We can let out anger. We can let bitterness be the main thing. Choose to not forgive. Spirit of jealousy, racism, prejudice, whatever it is. Just allow this just to pour out of our life. And the unfortunate thing is, it's the works of the flesh. It just by nature, unfortunately, just finds its way out. But it doesn't need to, as followers of Christ. As we allow him into our life, as we desire his thing, we can have life flow. We need to find the good things and release them. Verse 16 of that passage, "For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws." And this is, "Then you will. And the Lord will bless you." Because walking and keeping are ways to define or show how people are to love God. We need to get away from always thinking of love as just being an emotion. It's a choice. It's something that we choose to do by way of action for the benefit of others. It's not just how we feel about God. It's more than that. It's something that's lived out in the way we desire to live and desire God's best for us in life. Loving God is putting into practice his directions for how to live as his people. It is choosing to be on his path that we know will lead to life. We can choose to walk down different paths. The word sin in Hebrew means to walk on a wrong path or to go in the wrong direction. There's a passage, it's in Jeremiah 6:16. I'll put it up so you can see it. And it's a very interesting passage. It says, "This is what the Lord says. Just stand at the crossroads and look. And as you're looking, ask for the ancient paths and ask where the good way is. And as you've done that and walk in it and you will find rest for your souls. You'll be at peace because you are where you were created to be. But I don't like that last statement. But you said, we'll not walk in it. You're at the crossroad. You go this way. It goes this way. I want to do what I want to do. Tragic. Each day is kind of like a choice as followers of God. We can make a commitment and say, today, new day, I want to walk down Christ's path. And it's not just for me, because I think if you look at really what's going on there in Deuteronomy chapter 30, and Moses is telling the people what's going on here, he says, hey, this is bigger than you. Because what you choose today will have an effect on your kids and other generations behind you. So when you say, I want life and I want to go that way, you're making a decision too that's going to affect the people around you and how you live and maybe even generations behind them. If you say, I don't need that, I don't want that, I'm going to go this way, it will not only affect you, it will affect the people around you and the people behind them. It's a huge thing. They've been wandering for 40 years in the wilderness. He says, all right, let's do this again. It's a powerful summary, too, of the nature of God's grace and mercy. It's a huge passage about God's grace. Because here's God willing to offer life even though they had numerous times chosen a way that will not go that way. And the same thing then is true for us. Here it is again, giving it to you again. You can choose again. You can correct this. God's grace and mercy. Because redemption was made possible in spite of the fact that people would make the wrong choice. Here it is anyway. God is always skewing towards grace and mercy. God is the kind of God that offers a second chance of life. It's a passage about the call to choose. And the choice to hear God is to define how we will live in this world. And as we hear, as we put ourselves on the path, we know that I'm where God created me to be. It's not an easy path, but it leads to life. And with our focus on Jesus, because of his choice to die on the cross for us in our place, we know that we walk with forgiveness and real hope. Jesus' love is greater than our failures and our lack of faith. The cross is greater than our sin. His love is greater than our love. And we can let his love love us. And be the power to help us declare his love through our lives. And when that happens, we release life. We always have to think in the context of the people around us too. He would say, think of your kids, think of your families, think of the people behind them in choices that we make. For us, for others, those to come. Each day, it's choosing life, choosing Christ, and that it, in and of itself, is life. God, help us today, tomorrow, each day, to desire life. It's the most beautiful gift that we can share with the people around us. So now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.